I want you to think about the implications of this. Then, China, Russia, oil pipeline operations significant to global energy. The launch of a new oil pipeline between Russia's East Siberia and Chinese city of Daging can be significant for the global energy market, a Russian expert said. This is a huge deal, really big. Russia, as the largest energy producer, turns its head from the west to the east now. This had to happen the first time. This happened the first time in decades. Europe cannot compete now with China in terms of investments into Russian economy. Of late, Russia has been largely dependent on European consumers for its oil exports and is seeking alternative markets, and China is the favored destination. Opening the new pipeline makes China a transit route between Russia and Asia. And now, China and Russia will be linked inexorably over oil. Do you realize how big that is? What happens now if and when Israel discovers a major oil find, major oil reserves, which I believe is very likely in the next 12 to 18 months? It is going to so threaten China, Russia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Libya, that they will enter into a confederation to take a spoil from Israel before Israel can ever collect on her find. And just this weekend, it was announced that Israel has discovered yet a third super major gas find off the coast of Haifa. Friends, this is indeed the hyphen year of history. We're trying to connect the dots to help us understand the times so that we can act appropriately. Prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Friends, send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Don't wait for the other guy to do it. We're so grateful for those who have generously supported, particularly in this last 30 days. But friends, we need a lot of help if we're going to prepare and get this message out for such a time as this. Who knows but what you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is support.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And we're going to be talking about what's really going on in the world today. Now, basically, if you look and see what's happening, why America has a massive debt. Our debt is right now about $14 trillion, maybe just a little less than that, but certainly by spring it'll be over $14.3 trillion. They're going to have to actually increase the debt level. What happens if they don't increase the debt level? Oh, the gross national product is about $14.5 trillion. I should say our debt is $14 trillion. Our gross domestic product is $14.5 trillion. And what's happening is our gross domestic product is approaching the level of our debt. And it, when, of course, the gross domestic product is less than the debt, why it becomes unsustainable. Everybody recognizes that. And that's the point where you begin this spiral downwards. But there's so many things going on today. But I'm going to let Bob Chapman bring you up to date with what's going on. And the fact, one of the things he brought out in his latest newsletter, is that the United States is going to have to raise a tremendous amount of money this year, in addition to what we ordinarily have to raise just to meet our debt obligations. But also we have to pay our interest on our debt. And then we have to, there are going to be about $3 trillion or so of $3.5 trillion of bonds that are actually coming due. We have to pay them off and then borrow the money to replace the money that we paid off. And Bob, what's going to happen this coming year? Certainly, we're told things are looking better, the stock market's up, the economy's improving, but where is all this debt going to lead?
Well, I think probably the first thing the government will do is send you a bill for a good part of it.
But if they raise the taxes, it'll just destroy the economy altogether.
That's right. Now, they can't do that. We've just seen that. And the legislation to renew the Bush tax cuts were deliberately delayed for some time because the politicians in both parties were allowed to burden, if you may, the legislation with $868 billion in pork. And the idea for that is that pork will be spent and perhaps it will help the economy. And yes, the economy probably with that kind of spending and the additional spending by the Federal Reserve in absorbing old and new treasury and agency paper and maybe even some more toxic waste, as it's known, which are the bonds which contain mortgages, CDOs, MBS, that sort of thing.
Of course, well, certainly last year, the year before that, it was about $2.5 trillion, basically. There was a stimulus package that Obama, that was, what, $800-some-odd billion, and then the Federal Reserve put out about $1.7 trillion, about $2.5 trillion. They poured into the economy, and so we're talking about an acknowledged deficit of about $1.3 trillion now. But basically what they did is they cut taxes and increased spending. How can you cut taxes and increase spending? I'm all in favor of cutting taxes, but logic tells me that if you cut taxes and increase spending and you're already running a deficit of over this 1 year, about $1.2 trillion, we're on the path to disaster. We'll be right back in just a moment. So you pick up the story there, Bob.
And you're right. We are on a path to financial disaster. And it's not only the United States that has to do tremendous funding in the year ahead, but they also are going to meet in the international markets these other countries, particularly from Europe, that have tremendous funding as well, especially during the first 6 months of the year, and particularly in the first 3 months of the year. Which means the dollar probably will do decently about current levels on the USDX into the beginning of the second half of the year. And I think that this is going to be very disruptive. I see the Chinese have stepped in and have been buying bonds from Greece and Spain, and probably, I guess, they'll buy them from others. And that's for two reasons. Now in three. Number one, investment. That's debatable. Number two, to exercise political opportunity. That's for sure. And number three, to dump dollars, which they've got coming out of their ears. And so that is the intent of what you see there, and that's just from a funding basis. There's a lot of other problems besides, which is the pressure on the euro, the possibility still of default. The European solvent nations have offered their help in the form of almost $1 trillion, but they can't continue to do that. What they really need for those six countries is over $3 trillion. And I don't know if they're capable of raising that. And if they do, will it bankrupt them as well?
Well, I think that the people over there in Europe, the Germans, the French, the people who've been acting responsibly, aren't they just furious with the idea that they're going to have to go into hawk themselves and lower their living standards to compensate for the Greeks and certainly the people from Portugal and Spain and Italy, who've been living high on the hog, spending a lot more than they were taking in, living on debt. And I don't think the Germans and the French people want that. Now, whether their opinion is important, the leaders, I think, are dedicated globally. We'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were just copying what's going on over in Europe. The people of Germany, the people of Northern Europe, France, certainly are furious with the people from the South, Italy, Spain, Greece, Portugal. I mean, they've been living certainly on debt. They've been accumulating great debts, and now they want the people who've been acting responsibly in Northern Europe to bail them out. And I don't think the people want it, but I was just saying, does it really matter what the people want? Certainly the people over there don't want to give up their national sovereignty. They've been lied to. The globalists here in the United States and in Europe have been working to create a situation where the people would be forced to give up their sovereignty and join together in this one world government. And certainly the European Union is the first step along the way. So do you really think it really matters that the people, I know you've had several articles there in your international forecaster talking about people over in Europe who are furious with what's going on. But do you think the leaders really care what the people think?
No, I don't think that they do. They obey another master, and it's certainly not their people. And from the very beginning, the association was unnatural. The conglomeration of 27 nations, and now within the Eurozone, 17 of those nations. And never before has that sort of thing been tried, the bringing together of the problems that are so akin to most of them, as you just pointed out, with the southern tier of Europe. And, the Europe is made up of hundreds of tribes. Now, people don't look at it that way because they have never studied anthropology for the most part. And by putting these people together was not a very good idea. Then they give them one currency. And then finally, after 10 years, shoving a constitution down their throats, which is a destruction of their sovereignty. The Germans in particular don't want the euro, never wanted it, and they didn't want to be in the European Union either. And they were forced to. There were many things they were forced to do, such as the price they had to pay to meld East and West Germany back together again. And so I think the Germans are sick and tired after over 60 years after the end of World War II, of being occupied and led around by the nose. And so I think these things are changing. I think the experiment that was the European common market that became the European Union is dead in its tracks. And I think, the Brzezinskis and the Kissingers behind the scenes, they very well know that. If you saw 2 days ago, George Soros comes out and says we should all be in this new world government and you should all love it. And it's okay for George to say, because he sold his soul in 1943 in Hungary where he lived. And so I don't think that what you've seen in Europe is going to continue. I lived there for many years. I speak their languages. And I think the game is over, and I think it's going to end up in default, a partial default, and I think the breakup of the Eurozone and the breakup of the European Union. And I think it's the best possible thing that can happen from my point of view in relation to not only each other over there, but also to the United States.
Well, I certainly agree with you, Bob. I don't think it's going to happen. We're going to be very interesting to see what happens. I think the globalists have too much put into this. People don't understand the major force behind the unification of Europe was the trilateral CFR Anglo-American complex here in the United States. And it doesn't matter what the people want. I mean, there is an elite. They know what's best for us common people, and what's best, of course, is this global government under the control of a ruling aristocracy. And they're the ones who pushed and lied to the people there of Europe, told them, oh, we're not working for a European government, we just want trade, you know, everybody's going to benefit from free trade. And they were lying, and they knew they were lying, and suddenly the people behind this, Monnet, came out years later and said, of course we lied to the people. And you have to understand, our leaders are lying to us today. They've created this whole crisis because they hope out of this will come their world government. But first of all, they have to impoverish the American people. So, Bob, I hope you're right. I hope that the European Union does break down. I hope that certainly this whole global structure breaks down. I hope that we get people in a government who want to protect America instead of wanting to destroy it and impoverish our people. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens this year, because I think this is a pivotal year. Now I think the people are going to find out whether these people who we've elected to Congress really are going to make a difference, or they're going to be simply a rubber stamp just like before. In fact, one of the things that really disturbs me is the first thing the Republic's going to do is attack the debt subject, and we're going to do something about the debt. Yes, sirree. We're going to cut back on the spending by Congress $25 million, like a 5% reduction in the expenses of members of Congress. $25 million when we're talking about a budget of about $3.5 or $3.6 trillion, and we're supposed to think that they're really serious. They're going to have a vote on Obamacare, knowing full well that it will accomplish absolutely nothing. The only thing they could do would be, of course, to certainly not fund Obamacare, but so much of this is going to go through in the form of regulations. The only thing it'll stop it will be our courts. But are there enough people in the courts, or have they been taken over as well by the people who want to go along with this idea that the government will control health care? The government will determine, of course, how doctors treat their patients and who lives and who dies. And especially with the elderly, we've got to get rid of the elderly, because we have the baby boomers. The latest figure, 79 million baby boomers retiring over the next 20 years. And when that happens, of course, it will simply bankrupt Social Security and Medicare. We can't let people know it's a Ponzi scheme. So we're just going to have to get rid of the elderly. Otherwise, the whole thing will implode. So, Bob, what's going to happen? Do you think they're going to attack Social Security and Medicare? Do you think they have the courage to say, look, we can't afford it, it's a Ponzi scheme, we've lied to you all this time, oh, we cannot afford all these new people coming into the system? What are they going to do?
I think they'll dismantle it by bits and pieces. And the beginning will be the reduction in benefits, which you're seeing already. By the last 2 years and next year, which we're now in, 3 years of no increases. And, of course, the purchasing power is rent asunder. And when you have that happen, it's just like not getting paid as much.
You're talking about Social Security. They're no increase for a couple of years because they say there's no inflation now. They're giving cost of living increases to the congressmen. They're giving cost of living increases to government workers, but not for the elderly because there's no inflation. And after all, look at the government figures, and figures don't lie, but liars are certainly employed by the government to say there's no inflation. So look at all the money we're saving because there's no inflation. But if you go to the gas pump, you go to the drugstore, you go to the grocery store, prices are going up, but the government says, are you going to believe your lying eyes, or are you going to believe us? Because we're here from the government, and we wouldn't lie to you, or would they?
They would, of course. They lie about everything. Every government does, and every government in history has. It's to be expected, but Americans are naive, just like everybody else is. And, yes, they're going to slowly phase out Social Security, and they're going to introduce the death panels, if you may. And, yes, they're going to get rid of people. And anybody who's over 60, who lives in America, who gets sick, you better not get treated under Medicare because you're going to be dead. It's very simple. They're not going to treat you, and the doctors that argue, they're fined. And the second time around, they go to jail or something to that effect. And so that is the way this is headed, all in the ability to save money. Totally unhuman, un-American, incredible to think that you and I, who have spent many, many long years within the American society, within life, I mean, it is inconceivable that something like this could happen. And if it goes forward, I think maybe there might be a public reaction in congruity with the high unemployment, which is not going to appreciably change. Perhaps they might have a small decrease, you know, over a year or two with QE2 and maybe QE3. And they're going to keep doing this until they pick the spot that they want to either pull the plug or perhaps to have another war. And that is the way that they usually do what they do to extricate themselves from what they're doing. And so that's where this is all headed. And anybody who deludes or deceives themselves and to think it's going to be any different, you're a fool. I mean, I've been publishing for 21 years. I've been right 98% of the time. And that does not mean that I can't be wrong. But I've had a pretty good head on this with the background I've had, and you too, Stan. And so we know what to expect.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. People, we have a financial deficit, a government deficit. We have a massive trade deficit. And, of course, other countries, companies are coming in here, countries are coming in. And a Brazilian company bought up Anheuser-Busch. They bought up Burger King. They're in the process of negotiating to take over, you know, Sara Lee, I think Pilgrim Chicken. They're building a gigantic solar farm in Arizona. A Spanish company is doing. And the Chinese are coming in and buying up America, too. Bob, go right ahead. I mean, one of the things I don't think most Americans understand is that our leaders are arranging for America to be simply sold off. I saw today where the Spanish company is coming in, putting the massive silver.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for are people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called immune support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
The inner elite. He actually dropped out of the Trilogic Commission when he became the president of the World Bank. You have to simply go on leave from the Trilogic Commission. But these about 85 Americans, part of the North American branch of the Trilogic Commission, Mr. Zolick was a member of that, and basically he's been talking recently about a gold-backed currency, perhaps a basket of currencies with gold backing it, something of the sort. So you can find out what the elite are thinking by seeing who is saying what. But then, of course, it doesn't have any meaning unless you have a program. You have to have the membership list of the Trilateral Commission. That'll be my newsletter, I think, by January, my December newsletter, will be the membership list of the Trilateral Commission, so you can see who these people are. Now, I'm sure they have covert members, since we've been talking about how they have people from Goldman Sachs and Citigroup and J.P. Morgan Chase and the Bank of Israel and the Bank of Canada. We certainly put out some letters going into the background of that and wrote a chapter for a book on that. And I noticed that they've removed all of their names, those names of everybody I just mentioned, whereas ordinarily they're very, very stable. The last thing they want is for the American people to learn that this elite group controls the banks, or the banks are part and parcel of this elite group, and they've staged this whole financial collapse. So it's very interesting. All the names that I mentioned, they've all disappeared from the membership list, which has been incredibly stable during the years. Well, go right ahead, Bob.
They never leave. Their names are just removed for the time being. And, yeah, there are a lot of covert people who are involved. And quite frankly, from their point of view, they don't have any choice. If they're working for Goldman or Morgan or Citi or any of these firms, the question is, well, are you one of us? And are you going to do this deal, even though we know you don't want to? Are you going to do it anyway? That sort of thing. And the answer is yes, because it's just like the policeman. You either become federalized or we fire you. Well, it's the same thing at Goldman. I mean, you're either in or you're out. And I know, I spent years and years on Wall Street, And I know how these people think. Anything for money and power. Anything. And they don't care.
But if you want to get ahead, you've got to go along. And the major driving force behind everything is this drive for the world government. It's a subversive element. You can't serve in government, work for world government, and not, in, of course, honor your oath to support the Constitution. So these people simply make this a swear, but because they don't believe in God. And basically, the entire thrust of American foreign policy is certainly to create a one-world government. This is why we're shipping our factories overseas, and they're still going overseas. Bob has pointed out in his latest newsletter, 42,000 businesses have been closed down, about the last decade? And then it's
11 years. Actually, it's 42,400 and something, but it's a substantial amount, and as you quoted earlier, 8.5 million people have lost their jobs because of this, and now these people are coming back in these transnational corporations, to do what they did 6 years ago, and that is to bring money in from offshore at 5.25% taxes as opposed to 35% taxes. And the proviso will be, well, they'll hire people or invest their money in a way that will help employment. And, of course, it's all lies, just like it was last time. Only this time, it's not $362 billion they want to bring back in. It's $1.9 trillion. Now, the loss in taxes on $1.9 trillion is $650 billion. The last time, we only lost $108.5 billion. And we get to pay for this. These people are not paying their justifiable share. And they say, well, all of these foreign countries have corporate tax rates of 18 or 20%. Well, so what? Let them do what they want. We'll put up tariffs, and they won't get in at all.
And, of course, that's the thing, is we had tariffs. Why, we would use the tariff money to finance the government, and we wouldn't have to have the high taxation rate that we have, either for corporations or for individuals. And lower the corporate tax rate here, you'd stimulate it, and especially if people could not go overseas and produce and then bring their products in. Go to Walmart and look in the shelves. Somebody did that recently. They said 97% of the thing. Products made and sold in Walmart were made elsewhere, not here in America. It's an intentional effort to bankrupt this country. Our leaders know what they're doing. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Sydney Kate Smith sang that song back in 1943. This was an entirely different country, wasn't it, Bob?
Boy, it certainly was. We had our problems. We had the war, which was deliberately started. We were brought into it. And you and I have discussed the story of how Germany and Japan were bankrolled, particularly Germany, by Britain and the United States, or people within those countries, and the end of the war, the evolutionary process that brought all of the different things that we saw. And it was never easy. It was always difficult. Jobs were difficult. Getting education was difficult until the GI Bill came along. And it overnight changed America, because people who never could think of going to college before or had the money to do so were able to do so, and we had people who were educated in quality, and that was something very new in a society. And so all of the positive things were put in place for the time frame that brought us up to where we are. Now we're regressing in our educational structure. Our next debt bomb is the debts that are owned by students and former students that probably average 40, 50 thousand dollars each, something that's unpayable, and so we socialized everything and made a mess out of everything.
Well, I think that we're going to see some real repercussions this year, because debt is the one thing that certainly will destroy a nation. And we have, you know, we have our federal debt, we have our state debt, we have our certainly our city debt, and we have our county debt, we have our personal debt, we have our corporate debt, and there just isn't enough money out there to pay all these things off. And it's not just here in America; it's going on all throughout the world. Debt simply is like an anchor dragging us down to the bottom of the abyss. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening, Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And if you have any question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And they've intentionally made what's going on very, very complicated. We have a national debt approaching $14 trillion. Gross domestic product is $14.5 trillion. So we've almost reached that. We will exceed that by the spring. In addition to that, of course, we we have to raise the debt level. That's $14.3 trillion. And what happens if the Republicans won't raise the debt level? The whole house of cards have come tumbling down. And then, of course, we have all the baby boomers retiring. We have to raise all the money. About $3.9 trillion is coming here to pay interest on the debt, plus, of course, fund all the bonds that are certainly going to be coming due. And then, of course, we have our state debts. The federal government has taken on the responsibility for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. That's an FHA. That's another $8 trillion. We are responsible for the all those homes, and most of them certainly are not worth anywhere near what the mortgage value is. Maybe they're worth 50%, 60%, maybe 40% as the homes fall. And the federal government is responsible for all of those debts. And there is just no way that they can possibly be taken care of. So down the line, we're going to begin seeing local communities begin to default. And, of course, everything in our society is built upon trust. I mean, you borrow money, you pay it back. You buy bonds, well, you don't have anything to worry about. They say, well, of course, nobody has defaulted on a municipal bond, not in 50 years, and that's absolutely true. But you go back to the 1930s, 30 to 40% of the communities simply defaulted on the bonds, and the debt simply disappeared. And that's really what's going to have to happen. Well, if you have a question for Bob, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster. I look forward to it coming certainly twice a week and read it just as soon as it arrives. How can people get in touch with you and get a copy?
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays. It usually runs around 40 pages each time. We have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. And everything that you need to know every week is in that publication. You can get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com. theinternationalforecaster.com, or you can go to www.intforecaster.com, intforecaster.com, or you can email us at bob@intforecaster.com. That's bob@intforecaster.com, or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Well, now it's illegal to manipulate the commodity market. It's illegal to manipulate the stock market. It's illegal to manipulate the gold and silver market. And yet they're doing it all the time. And suddenly the Working Group Financial Markets manipulates all of these. This is an official government entity. You can look it up on the Internet. It was originally established to prevent a catastrophic collapse of the stock market. And yet, of course, they intentionally allowed that in 2008 because they wanted to bring the whole market down. They could have intervened at any time, any moment, and they didn't because they wanted to create that sense of despair with the elections coming up because they wanted to elect Barack Obama, which is, of course, he has been the chosen person to lead America into this catastrophe. And he's going to be the fall guy for a lot of what's going on. Not that I like Barack Obama, but he was picked. That's, of course, why they didn't intervene and stop the catastrophic collapse. And, of course, there was nothing wrong with the economy. It was working fine. Everything was going all right. But they wanted a catastrophe at that time, and they created it. And so basically, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And although we certainly now, of course, the whole system is beginning to crumble. There's money required to pay debts, and there's just not sufficient money out there. 15 nations are going to have to raise $10.2 trillion this coming year to pay off their debts. And where's the money coming from, Bob?
They got to print it. And that's the first step of the Federal Reserve for the United States. And they, I think, are going to try in every way that they can to get the funds to do that. And one of the sources of those funds is what we discussed earlier, and it's the bringing back of $1.9 trillion. And I think a good part of that will not only go into the stocks of these companies to keep the market up, but I think they'll be buying treasuries and agencies and even some of the toxic waste that's out there. And I think they intend to get that passed to do that.
Now,
very arrogant. They do what they want.
What about simply taking the 401ks and the IRAs so that, you know, so tell you that after all, they're there because the government created them, the medical savings account. Is there any way they can tap into those and guarantee a guaranteed annuity from the government who would never lie to the American people? Do you think that that's in the offing?
I'm positive it is, and the legislation has been written, and it's sitting there. I thought they might take a shot at it during the lame duck session. They didn't because they had more important fish to fry. It'll be back. When? I don't know. Their timing will be when they need it. They'll probably first get this gift to corporate America passed, the 5.25% taxation of this offshore money, and then I think they'll quickly come after the $6 trillion in 401ks and IRAs, and that's a lot of money, and they're actually going to steal it. And you have to remember that these people believe that all of the money that you have belongs to them because they allowed you to be able to make that money. And that is what they're thinking. That is their approach to this whole thing. And it's already happening, as pointed out in the International Forecaster last week, Argentina 2 years ago, and now we've got Romania, Bulgaria, Hungary, the French Assembly. They're all doing it. They're all stealing money from retirement, and they're taking that money to offset the deficits that they have. And in that process, they expect that they are going to be able to continue to keep the game going, so to speak. Politicians don't care. They just want to get reelected. Almost all of them are crooks, especially today. And I think that anybody who doesn't think that is deluding themselves. And we saw that in the last election. we get a 14% change instead of a 6% change. And we should have had a 30 or 40% change.
Well, we know always...
With that said, the American public isn't awake and isn't about... A good part of them are not about to get awake.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Right now, everybody should be beginning to work for 2012. Pick your candidates. Get them organized. Start raising funds. Get them before the public. You're not going to get any help from the controlled media, so you're going to have to do it on your own. Walking precincts, passing out flyers to the local mall. But right now, let's go to Ron, calling us from Richmond, Washington. Hi, Ron. How you doing?
Well, hi, Dr. Stan. Hi, Bob. I had a question for Bob. In the early 1980s, silver went way up to like $50 an ounce, and gold went up to $850, and very soon after that, it just plummeted all the way back. Why are the conditions different to preclude something like that happening again?
Oh, they're tremendously different. The debt load today has caused over the last 2 years for the dollar, although most people don't realize it, the dollar... has lost its preeminent position as the world's currency. Gold is now the world's currency, and I think people are going to find that out. And, of course, the people on the inside know that. And so what is their answer? Their answer is to continue to do what they're doing, and eventually whatever currency, a group of currencies, is chosen to represent the world reserve currency, it's got to have gold in it. And everybody knows that. Where are they going to roll it over? Probably at $6,000 an ounce.
And I
Why?
Think...
Because inflation, since 1980, real inflation, would have it at $7,700. So for them, that's a compromise. It also means that they have to come up with less gold in order to satisfy the backing on the dollar. And they don't care that 2% of the people, maybe even as much as 10 or 15% of the people eventually, own gold and profit by it. It's minuscule to them. The majority of the people, they're going to be left out.
And remember,
they're going to be broke. And that's what these people want.
But the majority of the gold now is owned by the central banks, and that they don't buy the Brotherhood of Darkness. These wealthy elite people have been accumulating gold behind the scenes very carefully. In fact, as somebody once commented, I think that, you know, I've forgotten whether that woman worked for the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds, but she made a public statement that, of course, they were accumulating a lot of money, and she immediately fell out of a six-story window. You're not supposed to let the cat out of the bag, but the people of great wealth are accumulating gold. The difference, Ron, between now and 1980 is that the run-up in silver was because the Hunt brothers were trying to corner the market. That's why it ran up there. Right now it's going up because people all over the world are buying gold and silver. And countries are buying gold and silver. China is buying silver, buying gold. India is buying gold. Russia is buying gold. Brazil is buying gold. They know what's happening. It's just the American people aren't being told. Anything else, Ron, before we let you go?
Yes, what about platinum and palladium?
All right, what about platinum and palladium, Bob?
Well, I think they're good investments. The problem is they've already run up so, you know, enormously. They haven't, they've had a much greater run than gold and silver have. And the reason why is the powers behind government have selected to, since 1988, to suppress the prices of those two metals, because in the suppression process, they have to do that. And the reason they have to do it is because if they go wildly up in value like they should, people are going to think there's a problem. Well, of course there's a problem. And they're trying to neutralize the problem by manipulating it. And it's so obvious, even to Wall Street. Nobody says anything. They just look the other way because they don't want to lose their jobs.
But everything,
and that's what it's all about.
But it's all being manipulated. Would you agree with that, Bob? The price of gold and silver are constantly being manipulated by the powers that be.
Well, it's not only them. It's all the markets. I mean, there are no free markets anymore. Everything is being manipulated.
Okay, Ron, I hope that answers your question. We've got a board full, so I'm going to have to let you go.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Let's go to Roman, who's calling us from Columbus, Ohio. Oh, Roman, how are you hearing us tonight?
You're coming in pretty good, Doctor.
Are we on shortwave? You're hearing us on shortwave?
Yes, I'm hearing you on shortwave.
Okay.
I don't have a computer here.
Okay, very good. Do you have a question or comment for Bob?
Yes, I do. First off, Happy New Year, you and him. Hey, for Bob Chapman, I got a couple of questions. First off, this is personal. When do you sleep? And I heard you this morning. I thought you were on with Joyce Riley. Are you there?
Well, I have a program an hour and a half earlier tomorrow morning. And so I'm a busy little beaver, but usually I sleep seven and a half hours in the evening.
God bless
and,
you.
And that's sufficient.
Well, maybe it's for you, but that's phenomenal. That's good health. Anyway, the question I was going to ask, with all these super rich people that manipulate everything, doesn't it ever come to them or dawn on them that maybe when the riots and the wars break out, maybe they're going to be hurt and their mansion and their castle is going to be burned down to the ground? Or do they figure they're so wealthy, they're so insulated that the bad luck never happens to them? I mean, I don't get it. How can they be so insulated or so isolated? I don't understand that part.
Well, it's an interesting question. And historically, if you'll go back, you'll find from time to time, the ruling class is decimated. And not all of them, but sometimes a good part of them. And when not all of them are decimated, they come back and do the same thing over again. And usually people from certain families are involved. And also new recruits are brought in. A life of wonder and splendor in exchange for your soul. And this is really what's going on out there. But they know the risk that they're taking, but they don't believe that we will be successful. Well, I get news for them. I think you're right. This time they're going to have a very serious problem, just like they had in 1789 in France.
Well, could I comment, Roman? Why do you think the Bush family bought 200,000-acre plot of land in Paraguay? Why would you buy 200,000 acres in Paraguay, of all places? I think the Bush family knows exactly what's coming down the line. And I'm sure they have extensive land holdings in communist China as well. I mean, the elite have their estates all over the world. Not only that, but they have all sorts of underground facilities. They have underground tunnels. They have certainly underground facilities in Washington, D.C., where they will be protected in case of a nuclear war. But, of course, there's no protection for the common people.
Right.
So you have to understand the elitist mentality. They think that they're different than we are.
Right. Well, I think maybe that's where I fail. I don't quite get that part, but I guess they think they're better than me.
That's right. Anything else you'd like to ask before
no,
we
No, that's
ask you?
It. Thanks. God bless you.
God bless you, and thanks very much. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We've got Tony calling from Michigan. Hi, Tony. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do, and Happy New Year for you and
Happy
Bob.
New Year to you, too.
This is for Bob. Bob, now, what do we need to do to turn this around? Because tonight I heard that the new Congress, they're coming in. They're going to do what the people are supposed to do, okay? They're not going to raise the debt ceiling. They're not going to do all that. And some of the Congress are going to live in their office in Washington because they're going to go back to the back and forth, but they can. So what can they do? You know what I mean? And one other thing. Hasn't all this been prophesied?
Oh, I think that we don't know when those prophecies are going to come to pass. But let Bob answer the question. Hang on there, Tony. We'll be back in just a moment. Bob, Tony wants to know what the Congress is going to do and how they're going to be able to solve the problem.
Well, I think that they're going to continue to do what they've been doing, supply enough money to keep the city.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
My ministry is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. If you're not, why, please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and our protection. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Certainly, if you want to understand what's going on today, you need to hear my talk on the Financial Armageddon. The Financial Armageddon comes with a syllabus that gives you the background of how they intentionally precipitated this crisis and why they did it. And then, of course, if you want to understand what they're doing as far as the health of the American people, I mean, why is there so much cancer? Why is there so much autoimmune disease? Why suddenly are there so many people who have heart disease and diabetes today? Well, we have a talk. It's called The Specter Haunting America. The Specter Haunting America. And you'll find it fascinating. A talk we gave a couple of 2 years ago at the conference, the Radio Liberty Yearly Conference. We recommended it as a DVD. I should let you know that the CDs for the talks that were given, the CDs of the five talks at our conference are available if you'd like to get them. If you want to understand what's going on today, why are we transferring massive amounts of military technology? In fact, certainly a lot of our military equipment, electronics, is being built in communist China today. Why are we giving them all the secrets for America's missile technology and our other military technology? Why are we transferring the technology for building our planes over there? And, of course, they're in the process of certainly building an aircraft carrier, and they're building up their military. They're increasing their military spending every year. Why, certainly, have we transferred hundreds of billions of dollars, trillions of dollars to communist China while we're creating the best enemy money could buy. You need to understand the history of the past. And you need to understand that we financed the Soviet Union from its inception, the book would be Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, plus my little pamphlet on the capitalist-communist alliance. It includes the writings of Solzhenitsyn, the references to them, and then, of course, my interview with Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. Goes into how we financed the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War. I mean, how could you have had the war, you know, if you didn't have an enemy? You had to have an enemy. Did you ever wonder how a little country the size of the state of Mississippi was able to stand against the mightiest nation in the entire world for 10 years and the mighty nation lost the war? Could you explain to me how that happened? Well, we created the best enemy money could buy. And you need to hear our talk on Vietnam, the untold story, and we actually tell you what the other side said as to what Vietnam was all about. It was never about winning. It was about a diversion. It was about changing America. And you read the writings of McGeorge Bundy, member of the Skull and Bones, a Luciferian Society, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and certainly the National Security Advisor, who basically said, you know, certainly it would be an act of folly for any true liberal to say that we ought to pull out of Vietnam. Exactly the opposite is the case. All those who believe in the great new departures in health, education, and welfare, who believe in a rebuilding our society, we should strengthen the hands of our opponents by saying we ought to get out of Vietnam. For exactly the opposite is the case. The road forward at home is by persistence in Vietnam. And I'm simply quoting what he wrote in the Foreign Affairs magazine, January of 1967, lead article, the end of either or. It's the idea of guns or butter. No, we need both. We need to persist over there. And then we need to butter, we need to rebuild America's society. You need to get the books we have on how we financed Adolf Hitler, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, America's Nazi Secret and Trading with the Enemy. Those three books available from Radio Liberty. Our telephone number 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage radioliberty.com. And then you can listen to our internet programs there. You can listen to our programs on the telephone 24 hours a day. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of John DeMint, and he was to have been our guest last week. We had a mix-up. Hopefully, we're going to have him here this hour, and we're going to be talking about fact that he wants to, he's going to be running for the presidency in 2012. Now, he's a gentleman who hasn't had a lot of exposure. He's a person who wants to do something to help America. And I think that this is vitally important, that we have people who have no association with the, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, the power elite, running for political office and at every level. Whether they're running for the school board, or whether they're running for the fire department, or whether they're running for the city council, or the county board of supervisors, or the state legislature, or the Congress, or for the presidency. Why, of course, it's important that we have people who really are willing to put their time and their effort and their money into this, because, of course, it's vitally important that people are willing to become involved in trying to save America. Well, of course, our gentleman they're going to put the... it's John DeMint. John, could you tell me exactly how to pronounce your last name?
Well, actually, it's a French name. You can say Dumet, and it's English, but it's French origin, but it's Dumet in French.
Dumet, okay, it'll be Dumet. So basically, John, why do you want to run for the presidency? I mean, basically, this takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money. I mean, and how would you possibly be able to get national attention? But you tell me what motivates you and then what you intend to do.
Well, I can tell you what motivated me. What motivated me was in 2008, when we ended up electing what I consider somebody that hasn't really proved that he's qualified under Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the Constitution. He meets a couple of those requirements, but one of them I don't believe he does meet, and so that is what motivated me actually to get involved in this. I figured if we could get somebody that doesn't meet one of the eligibility clauses in the Constitution to be elected president, that I would go ahead and, hey, I might as well throw my 2 cents in worth, because I'm a true blue-born American. Family's been here before this country even became a country. And comes time, I figured we're going to have to do something and restore the Constitution, because it's been completely trashed.
All right, well, I agree with you totally. But basically, there are so many problems facing America today. I mean, if you were the president, I mean, what would you do? I mean, how would you meet the massive debts we have? How would you meet the fact that there's no way Social Security and Medicare can be financed? How would you meet the fact that we're involved in a war halfway around the world, supposedly in defense of freedom? But what would your response be to that? Certainly both political parties apparently support the war. Barack Obama has expanded George Bush's war over there in Afghanistan. Now we're, of course, fighting in Pakistan. We're fighting in Somalia. We're fighting in Yemen. We have our troops in so many other countries in that area. What would your position be on the various issues I mentioned?
Well, if you'd like me to start with the economy, of course, that's the biggest thing that's threatening this nation right now.
All right, fine. So we'll let you start with the economy. What would you do with the economy?
Okay, well, every politician that's running out there currently, they've got one thing in common. They all think that they can create jobs. No politician out there can create a job. The only thing that they can do is create the conditions for a job. That's what they could do.
All right, fine. You hold that thought. We'll be back with John DeMay. And if you have any questions or comments, don't feel embarrassed. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. All right, John, I certainly agree with you. Politicians can't create jobs, so what are we going to do? What, first of all, are your qualifications? Have you ever held a political office? Have you ever run for office before?
Ma'am. Yeah, well, here's the deal on that. As the founding fathers, they never intended on a class or an oligarchy taking over this nation. And essentially that's what we are ruled by, as an oligarchy of an individual class that actually rules with an iron fist. Now, as far as I'm concerned, there really is no difference between the Republican and the Democratic Party. They've more or less merged into one entity, basically interested in maintaining power and wealth. We're an entitlement society, so they think that they're entitled to a job, and that's at the taxpayer and the voter's expense. So basically, I feel that that we have to get people out there that have life experiences that have prepared them to do the things. Currently, I'm a staff programmer analyst. I work for the state of California. So I manage multi-million-dollar projects, business applications. I build those using Oracle forms and reports. So I'm actually a computer programmer. So as far as the qualifications, I feel that everything that I've done as a human being, I'm 55 years old right now. I've managed to raise five children and managed to stay married to the same woman in love with her for 34 years. And just getting along in this life underneath what the politicians have thrown us through have more than qualified me to understand what's going on in this nation.
All right, fine. Well, then, basically, how would, if you were the president, how would you go about creating jobs? In other words, what would you do to encourage the free enterprise system to work to create jobs?
Well, here in California, we've got an extreme problem. A lot of people, anybody that lives here knows that we have an undocumented alien problem here. And, of course, they're not out all working in our farms and things like that. And a lot of people think that that's what they do. But basically, they've permeated just about every business that you can do. You know, the upper white-collar jobs, not so much. But all your service industry jobs. And I'm not just saying getting rid of the aliens or deporting them is what's going to help out our business situation. But what can help out the business is creating conditions to where it would be conducive for them to relocate, you know, back here in the United States instead of relying upon slave labor and lax environmental laws that they happen to flee the United States from.
Okay, hold on. We'll be back in just a moment. I guess our guest is John DeMay, and we've been asking him what he would do to create jobs. He lives here in California. He says a big problem is the immigration, illegal immigration that's permeated. They're working in certainly every aspect of our society. Well, John, how would you possibly get rid of them? How would you even identify who they are? Certainly the government at the present time is doing everything they can to encourage illegal immigration. We have laws here in the state of California, Prop 187. The law of the state, but a federal judge said it was illegal, and then Gray Davis, the governor, refused to appeal the federal judge's decision, and then Schwarzenegger refused to appeal it. 187 is the law of California, but it's never been enforced. And, well, certainly when Arizona tried to enforce their immigration laws, the federal government blocked Arizona from doing what was logical to try to control illegal immigration. So how would you go about controlling illegal immigration?
Well, besides the obvious fact that just about every government, branch of the government has usurped each power of each of the other, where they're, you know, we've got a judiciary making laws outside of, you know, their jobs, and everybody, you know, trying to do things that they're not constitutionally eligible to do. Actually, you know, they call them illegal immigrants for one thing. They've actually committed a crime. People are not willing to say that they've done that. But, you know, in my books, everything I remember, illegal means criminal. And, of course, anybody that's over here illegally, to me, is criminal, and they need to be rounded up. Now, our government has refused to round them up. And they're doing that basically because they're a voting bloc for, you know, the Democratic Party, mostly. Now, there are some Republicans that benefit from, illegal immigrants down here, especially down in Orange County, down in Southern California. But as far as I'm concerned, if we can't get Border Patrol to get under control, I think we're going to have to use our National Guard or our military to deport these people. And I mean, we're going to have to identify them. If that means going to a national identity card or whatever, even if it means, then God forbid. And a lot of people will say that, you know, you're crazy, but I'm using some common sense here. We're going to have to, profile these people. I'm sorry, and I mean, I'm not talking about all Mexican Americans, because my granddaughter is, you know, Hispanic too. I mean, she's got Hispanic blood in her, so it's not that I'm racially, you know, against these people. What I'm talking about are the people that are, you know, coming across this border without right right papers.
Why do you think it is that the federal government is actively opposing efforts to stop illegal immigration? They've refused to go ahead and build the fence along the border. Congress authorized a 700-mile, a two-tiered, a 13, 14-foot fence. The Bush administration refused to carry out the congressional mandate. The Obama administration has refused to carry out the mandate. The border is wide open. A lot of it is about 4 feet tall, simply a rail, so they can say they built a fence, but you can step over it or you can crawl under it. Why is it that the successive administrations, both Republican and Democrat, have steadfastly refused to enforce our immigration laws? What is the motivation?
Well, like I said earlier, they're a voting block. These people are, I wish I wouldn't keep using the word these people. I'll say illegal immigrants, let's say what they are. They represent a very large, vocal voting group.
But you see, it's illegal for them to vote.
The powers be, which would be the oligarchy that's in control of us, they're not too concerned about whether or not it's illegal for them to vote. I'm here in California, and I can tell you, I'm up in my polling booth, and I've never been asked if I'm a U.S. citizen. I've never been asked to show a birth certificate a long time ago when I was 16, I think I showed a birth certificate to get a driver's license, but those things are easy to get now. No problem.
All right, well, let's get to another subject, and that would be jobs. Now, how could we, protect American industry when we have no tariffs? How do you feel about tariffs?
Yeah, now, here we go. Most of the time through American history, there's been a lot of people, especially Ronald Reagan himself, was for free trade, free and fair trade. And that's the key words here. It's free and fair trade. That's basically what we're calling out. We've got a competition problem across the country, across other nations, to where they're able to dig into their slave labor and their lax environmental laws. And I feel that if the United States was just to do one thing, and that would be to make these countries that are taking advantage of these lax environmental laws and employment rules and regulations, to make them adhere to the same ones that our businesses have to.
But the only way we could do that would be a world government. Is that what you're
suggesting? No. World government, they're dealing with trade with the United States. That's a treaty done by the President of the United States. That's not done with the world.
Do you favor tariffs or not?
Yes, I favor tariffs.
Okay, you're the only politician I know who favors tariffs, but that's fine. I favor tariffs because I think we need them to protect our economy. So I think that's such an important thing. We cannot certainly preserve our economy without tariffs. There's just
no
way.
And the reason is because it's not free. It's not fair. Now, if they're not going to do the same, it sounds like a childish game, but our lifeblood, our nation is. We're in danger of, we're just about ready to fall off the precipice because we're all worried about this, we can't be mean to these people. We can't tell them. I know what the one big major comeback, play the devil's advocate, that most people will tell you, that if we place a tariff on them, that what they'll say, let's say China, we place a tariff on them, and they'll say, we've got they have a lot of strategic minerals that this nation needs, that we have to have to run our military industry. Everything that we run here practically depends on a lot of, they're called rare earth minerals, and we can't get them here in the United States in the quantities that we need. But if they're going to say, we're going to withhold both, all we have to do is say, well, we manufacture something here in the United States that you don't manufacture too much of. And you're going to need that a lot more than you're going to need that rare earth mineral.
We manufacture in the United States that they cannot manufacture in other countries?
Well, it's called food. Food to feed their people. We feed the world. That's one thing that we've got in this nation that most of these other countries, they can't afford to do on their own. And if, they want to play the tariff game, that's the thing about playing tariff. You put a tariff on me, I'll put a tariff on you. You put a tariff, I'll put a bigger one on you. And it has to come to the point where someone puts their foot down and says, okay, listen, we have to draw inward. And we've had to do that several times in our country where we didn't get involved in foreign entanglements. And it's coming to a point right now to where we're totally involved and we're the world's police force. And believe me, I'm all for waving the flag and for freedom for everybody in the world. But there comes to a point, even our founding fathers, they feared, one of the things they feared most of all was foreign entanglements in countries that we had absolutely no business being in. For instance, I have a son. He's in the United States Army. He's a military police officer. He's getting ready to be shipped off to Afghanistan. Okay, and I'm sitting here wondering why was there, the Russians were over there. We're over there now. Really, we went from Iraq to Afghanistan, all under the guise of we're fighting Al-Qaeda. Okay, fine and dandy. I'm all for getting rid of the terrorists. I'm a death enemy to those people, too. Anybody that sneaks up in the United States and does what they've done to us, you know, on September 11th, they deserve a comeuppance. And of course, I would be after them. But it's evolved beyond that. And so I did a little bit of research to find out what's going on in Afghanistan and why the Soviet Union spent so much time there and why the United States has spent so much time there. And, of course, we go right back down to a strategic resource that Afghanistan has that we absolutely have to have. And right now I'm sitting on one out in my backyard on a battery that uses that strategic mineral. And Afghanistan has, I think, three times the amount of lithium that the world needs to run their electrical equipment. Our whole economy, our whole technology, everything is based upon that. And now we're fighting terrorists over there. Yes, we are too. But we're also trying to you know, get our, you know, our interests entrenched over there in Afghanistan to make sure that we keep a hold of our...
Well, now, do you think that we were justified in going to war with Afghanistan when basically we were, if you believe what the government has said, we were attacked by 19 terrorists operated, armed with box cutter knives? 15 of them came from Saudi Arabia. But we know that the Saudi Arabians finance this. So shouldn't we perhaps have gone to war with Saudi Arabia instead of Afghanistan?
You bet they should have been called to task over. We know who did it. We know who's responsible for it. You know, it's just Iraq was a good pretense to get, and I feel that the reason why the federal government was over there, or at least the United States was over there, was to get all these guys rounded up into a little area, and then we could kill two birds with one stone. We could end the Hussein, you know, dictatorship, and that we could also fight those terrorists on their ground and not in the American streets. Okay, fine and dandy. Afghanistan, they say they're running all the way over there, the Taliban. I still haven't been quite convinced, like I said, that we really have any business being over there fighting right now. However, who I actually think is a usurper and not really the President of the United States has decided that he's going to tell our enemy exactly when we're going to be pulling out of Afghanistan. So now they're just sitting there just biding their time, you know, biting their tongue while they nitpick at us and, you know, like little bees, you know, stinging us back and forth. And they're going to see to it that they harass us until we're completely gone from there, which we've already told them that we're going to, and that's just not the way to handle it.
No, we're certainly not handling it very well. In fact, certainly James Jones, General James Jones, head of national security, said probably we had only about maybe less than 100 members of Al-Qaeda there in Afghanistan. So why do we need 200,000 people, 90,000 troops, 110,000 contractors to handle, you know, less than 100 members of Al-Qaeda? Al-Qaeda. Leon Panetta said it was probably only 50 members. I never understand why it takes 200,000 men to combat 50 members of Al-Qaeda. Maybe somebody out in the audience could explain it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24 Liberty. Give us a call.
Well, I definitely have my theory on why we've got the kind of war that we're...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
I'm running as a Republican. The reason being is this running for office, I'm not a groomed career politician trained and nursed by either party to run up through their ranks and go to the marching or beat to the drums to whatever the party happens to say. I've been a Republican conservative my entire voting life. Basically, though, I am a constitutionalist. And what I'm out to do is I'm out to restore the Constitution to its original form and intent. Now, I don't mean to revert, because there's things that we can't do to revert back to the way it actually was, but we definitely can restore the meaning and intent of the Constitution, and we can't pick and choose which parts of it that we adhere to like we're doing right now. It's my opinion that all three branches have usurped the powers of each branch. If any high school student that paid attention in government class knows that, you know, the federal government has certain enumerated powers, and each three of those branches have checks and balances, and none of those are being adhered to at all. And we've allowed, with the election of Barack Obama, for a technicality in the Constitution to be set aside, so we could manage to have the first black elected president of the United States. And we can't choose what parts of the Constitution we adhere to. We can't do that.
Well, but Sidney, was George Bush adhering to the Constitution when he authorized torture? Was George Bush adhering to the Constitution
No.
when he puts out our boys to fight and bleed and suffer and die and no win wars over there without a declaration of war by Congress? And basically, of course, and now, of course, we have our troops in so many other nations. These are special forces units that are operating there, and they're just going around and killing people. When you're killing people without a declaration of war, isn't that murder? And aren't these military people who take orders, you know, and carry them out without any congressional authorization, aren't they guilty of murder?
Well, I can tell you what a lot of the government's guilty of. We've got the entire government of the United States is guilty of dereliction of duty by not enforcing the Constitution. We'll start with the election of Barack Obama first, and then by them all not giving lip service to saying that they've actually seen a birth certificate. Now, I'm not a birther per se, because it doesn't matter whether you're born in the United States. That's not what the Constitution says. The Constitution says you must be a natural-born citizen. And, of course, we've been managed to be hoodwinked into not understanding what a natural-born citizen is, so therefore most people don't seem to think that that's such a big deal. But what I'm saying is that every part of the government has usurped each power of the other to one extent or the other. We've got a judiciary that actually makes laws from the bench. They're not permitted to do that by the Constitution. Their job is to sit there and decide whether or not a law is constitutional or not. That's their job. And the President of the United States, he's to protect and defend all parts of the Constitution against foreign and domestic enemies. And he's to sit there and either veto or sign on to laws that are brought before him. That's his job. Now, Congress, they're there to make the law. And what they're doing to us, the people, the common people, they totally usurped their power to do that. Now, the only power we've got is the power to elect them out of office. That's the only balance check we have on that Congress.
Well, how do you anticipate that you're going to be able to put together a campaign committee that you're going to be able to, first of all, to get onto the ballot? Because, of course, you have to have, you know, thousands of signatures, a great deal of money to qualify, you know, even to be on the presidential ballot, and you have to actually get on the ballot in all 50 states, otherwise, and so you have to have a campaign committee in every single state. How are you going to get the support for your effort to do that? You've got to get people working for you in every state to collect signatures to get your name on the ballot. So you can't just simply, I'm going to run for president. You have to have an organization raising the funds, getting the signatures, and get yourself qualified. And first of all, you've got to get your message out there. How are you going to get your message out? How are you going to get representatives in every state? How are you going to get the funds to get the signatures to get on the ballot? Running, you can't just run. It has to be an organization.
Yes, that's certainly true. We do have an organization. I do have an executive campaign committee right now. We're filling out the papers right now at the Federal Elections Commission. We're lining up people. Right now we're using the Internet mostly to gather up supporters and people to donate to the campaign.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with John DeMay.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the field, let us swear allegiance.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John Sidney, our guest is John DeMay, and he's talking about his effort to organize to try to get onto the ballot in all 50 states. And, of course, it's really many of the states make it extremely difficult for candidates to get on there. Have you looked into that at all? Have you actually?
Yes, we certainly have. What I'd like to do right now, and this is for my campaign manager to make sure that we get this out, we're depending on, you know, organizations such as yours, radio stations, newspapers, local community churches, things like that, getting the word out. We've got quite a bit of following right now. It's gaining steam. But I do have a website I'd like to give out for anybody who's interested.
All right. We'll be just a moment here, about a minute, and then we'll have a lot more people listening. So we have some people listening, but in about 40 seconds, we'll have people all across America listening. So hang on there. Our guest is John DeMay. We're talking about his candidacy as he tries to, as an individual, to make a difference by running for Congress, and so they're using the Internet, and we'll let people understand how they can get to his website and know the various issues that he stands for and the issues that he is supporting, and I think this is vitally important. He is a conservative, he's been a Republican all of his life. He'll be running on the Republican ticket for the presidency of the United States. We'll be right back here.
Yeah, and actually,
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's John DeMay, and he's running. He'll be running for the Republican nomination for the presidency. John, would you like to get your website out? Would you like to get any information out on how people could support you if they'd like to? And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We have a question for John, but how can people get to your website? And do you have a statement of principles on the things that you are going to specifically take a stand on?
You sure bet. The way you can get a hold of me is www.john, that's John, DUMMETT.US. That's my website. And we have the ability for people to volunteer. We've got a blog. I have the 28 principles that the Founding Fathers determined that were necessary in order for this nation to remain free, or a free republic. And basically, I stand for the restoration of our borders, our language, our culture, our economy, and most important of all, the belief in a supreme being that is completely over everything, and that is endowed all of us with our inalienable rights.
All right, fine. Certainly that is very noble. How do you feel some people are suggesting we should have an independent evaluation of what really happened on September 11th? Certainly Congressman Ron Paul has called for that, saying we don't know, we've never had an independent evaluation of what happened during the 9-1-1 attack, because certainly that was a watershed event. It's because of that that we went to war, but certainly the Bush administration would not allow an independent evaluation of that. Do you think that we should have an independent evaluation? Should we look backwards? President Obama says he doesn't want to look backward. He only wants to look forward, but I do think it's important that we try to find out if we got the entire truth about what happened in that event.
Yeah, absolutely, 100% for sure, certain. Yes, we should. And it's not looking back. Transparency in government is the one thing that keeps this nation free. That's the one of the big problems that we have in this. Like, we don't have the type of government that most of us, use quote-unquote common people like myself out here, we don't feel that we have any power in this country. Yes, we should look into it. Do I think that the United States caused 9/11, actually carried out the attack on ourselves? No, I do not. But do I think the United States is capable of knowing that something was going to happen, not knowing exactly what that was, to allow it to happen? so we could be embroiled in a foreign entanglement that they need to get into. Most certainly I do. We're lied to constantly by this government. Everybody knows it. Not too many people are willing to stand up and say that, yes, we've been lied to all ever since I can remember, ever since I've been a child. It's happened before me. It happened December 7th, 1941. It happened with the Maine. It happened in the Gulf of Tonkin incident. It's happened all the time where the United States government uses some sort of pretense. And believe me, I don't want to beat up on the United States because, as far as I'm concerned, this is the greatest nation that ever was, ever been on the face of this earth. I am by education, I'm trained as an archaeologist with I'm a degree in history as well, American and constitutional history. So I understand how great this nation is. I know how corrupt this country has become. And basically, that's why I'm there. I'm not going to be a person that will is pro-government. I'm a pro-states' rights advocate. So I'm more or less open to, you know, being free and open with the American public, you know, as much as possible, because you're a representative of the people when you're elected to any office, and you're responsible to the people. And none of our elected officials are responsible. They treat elected office as a way to maintain power and wealth, and basically it's the good old boys club. It's been that way for quite some time. They've managed to create a situation where people like myself, we find it difficult, if not impossible, to get elected. As I said earlier, I am a state worker, so I fall under an act called the Hatch Act. And that's to prevent corruption in government. Can you actually believe that? They're worried about corruption in government, so they're coming after a state worker by not allowing me to run for partisan office if I get any federal funds whatsoever. So what they do is they whitewash something to, you know, to prevent somebody from running for office. Well, I could see, you know, if it was Boss Tweed's day, but it's not quite far off that mark right now. I don't think we're almost like Tammany Hall right now as it is. In this nation, as far as, you know, getting a common person elected. But yes, to answer your question, there's no doubt in my mind that the United States has done things or allowed things to happen, but I don't think they directly had a hand in where they said, hey guys, here's some money, jump in your airplanes and you go fly them into those buildings. I don't think they did that. I think they may have known that there was an attack that was coming, not knowing the full extent of it, and allowed it to happen quite similar to what happened December 7th, 41, when, if anybody knows the history about that, I don't know how many of your listeners would be alive that time. I wasn't alive, but I do understand the history of it. I was born in 55. Of course, I missed the war, you know, by a good 10 years or so, the United States, as far as I'm concerned, everything I've ever read, that Roosevelt was actually provoked the Japanese into attacking Pearl Harbor by cutting off all their all the stuff that they needed to run their economy, like oil and rubber and stuff like that, and it kind of pushed them into a corner. Now, did he actually set the, you know, ships up there and bomb them? No, I don't think he did that at all. But did they know something was going to happen? Oh, yes, they did. And, of course, if, like any of your listeners out there that were alive at that time, they knew that this nation was an isolationist nation, that we didn't want to get involved in any foreign tangle whatsoever. Matter of fact, all the way up until we were bombed, they were saying they had a big movement out there where they didn't want to get involved in any foreign war. And until that happened, then we did finally get involved in World War II. But something similar is going on right now, and yes, we have to do an investigation. We have to do an investigation with what's going on with Barack Obama. And, of course, most people get embroiled in this birth certificate, and if I can tell people one specific thing, don't get entangled in this birth certificate issue. That is not the issue constitutionally with what's going on with Barack Obama. What is going on with Barack Obama is, he has a parent that was born on foreign soil, and according to the Constitution, our founding fathers did not want anybody with divided loyalties to get elected to be president of the United States. When you have a father that's born in another country, you have divided loyalties. Now, the immigration laws have changed since, but because of post-ex-facto laws. You have to go by the law that was in force at the time of Barack Obama's birth. And that said that both parents had to be either naturalized or they had to be natural-born citizens for their child to be a natural-born citizen. And now we've completely and totally have just taken that part of the Constitution, swept it underneath the table, and we've gone on. Now, of course, that's basically, you know, where I stand. Yeah, we have to do some investigation.
All right, now how do you feel about the current financial crisis we have? How do you feel about the Federal Reserve System, the central bank of the United States? Do you think it plays any part in the current financial problems? And what would your solution be to the financial problems we face today?
Absolutely. What we do is we do what our founding fathers wanted to do. A lot of people don't realize that is one of the few things that the founding fathers never quite got done right. And originally, when they were framing the Constitution, they wanted all of our wealth to be based on tangible assets like gold, things that you could actually hold on to, not paper money. We just came out of a Revolutionary War, and we didn't have the means or the money to back up, so we had to go to the private people that did have the wealth, and it gave them the power to establish the Federal Reserve System, which has absolutely no accountability to the United States government whatsoever. So I would like to do, like I said, restore the Constitution and implement that part where the money printing does go back to the federal government where it belongs, as far as the Constitution is concerned.
Well, then who would manage the economy?
Well, the federal government is supposed to manage the economy. That's their job.
No, it's not. The federal government is not to manage it. It's to lead the people, give the people the opportunity to be free. Don't let them trap you into saying the federal government should manipulate the economy.
Well,
that's what happens in a socialist
country.
I laid the trap for you, and I apologize.
I
know that
trapped,
you don't know what
you
meant.
Yeah, you know I know I don't.
I know.
Absolutely. Yeah, good trap. Yeah, you caught my knee up. It's the knee.
Of course, the answer is the federal government should not be manipulating the economy in a free society. Nobody manipulates the economy.
That's right.
The economy is manipulated by individual citizens investing, working for their own benefit, and of course, hopefully, people will be out there.
And for property. That's
right.
What the main thing is, the person's unfettered ability to acquire property without anybody taking it away is where we have our power. I understand that. Yes, I do. But I mean, is coining the money belongs with the federal government. Now, they don't manage the economy, just no more than they create a job. The federal government doesn't create a job. All they can do is create the conditions that are conducive to creating jobs. They can't create a single job. All they can do is make money like they did.
Of course, they can make a situation where it's conducive not to have jobs here, where they're actually encouraging, by many, many means, of course, companies to move overseas. One of the biggest things right now is the carbon tax, you know, and the whole idea of restricting carbon. And basically what we're doing is making it very difficult, increasingly expensive and difficult for companies to continue operating here, and then of course we reward them financially if they move overseas by giving them tax breaks. I mean, certainly you use the tax system to get what you want. If you want people to work, why you of course reward them with taxes for working? If you don't want them not to work, why you reward them for not working? And if you want corporations to move overseas, why of course you do not charge them any taxes if they move overseas? And that's exactly what we've done. There is an organized effort to encourage the offshoring of jobs, the outsourcing of jobs, sending our factories overseas. That is why we've lost over 42,000 jobs in the last 11 years, why we've lost over 8 million jobs just doing this, and of course we've lost a lot more since the economy collapsed. I think it's about time people really understood what's going on. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you'd like to talk to John DeMay, who wants to run for the Republican nomination for the presidency. And he's at the present time actually trying through the internet to raise support and get people in every state, because you need a committee in every state. Now, suddenly one of our listeners had just called in and asked if you'd had any administrative experience. You mentioned that you'd actually worked there as a systems analyst. Do you actually run programs as a system analyst? What do you do?
Well, what I do is I manage multi-million-dollar projects building business applications for the state of California. I manage great numbers of people, good large numbers of people.
All right, fine. So basically, now, is there going to be any problem with you as a state employee running for political office? Is there any contradiction there?
Yeah, that's what I was explaining to you earlier, that I was all state employees are liable to adhere to the Hatch Act, which is an act that prevents any government employee from running for partisan office where any federal funds are given to that person. And we did an extensive this is why I missed. Actually, I had wanted to run for the Senate to go after Barbara Boxer's seat here in California, because I'm California, I understand California issues pretty well. And they managed to drag their feet, what they mean the Federal Elections Commission and the United States Justice Department, to getting me the okay to run. They had to go through a big process. The things that they make you go through just to, you know, to even get on the ballot, and what it did, it precluded me from running because there was absolutely no time for me to run whatsoever. Now I have that piece of paper in my back pocket that says, yes, I can run for any partisan office that I want to, and I decided here in the state of California, there's nothing where I can really run to make any impact in the state of California and in the United States Senate. You're not going to make any impact by becoming a senator unless you get rid of 49 other senators that are sitting there and start from scratch. So the easiest place to make an impact to where you can actually do some good, where you can say things like, if you send a bill over to me and if it has any amendments or attachments to it, you're not going to get a signature from me, and go ahead and sign it over my head. I'll go right on front of the television and I'll tell the American people how you're being hoodwinked and how you're being had, and then we'll let you deal with the telephone calls from your constituencies, you know, out there in the, you know, the public. So yeah, I figure I can make a bigger impact, and I know I can make a bigger impact as being president of the United States instead of senator or from California or a representative, make a much bigger impact.
Well, now, how do you feel, Sidney, about the situation such as the efforts to register guns? Certainly, guns kill people. If we could restrict the use of guns, why, of course, many people wouldn't be killed. Do you think that it would be up to either the federal or the state government to have intelligent gun registration laws?
No. Here's what it says. A well-regulated measure will be necessary to a free state. The rights of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed. Paraphrased, it's a state, not a federal question. I am absolutely 100% for gun rights. I have 9 guns myself. Dare anybody to try taking them away from me. It's our absolute right as a citizen, and it's not for shooting ducks. It's not for shooting game. It's for maintaining freedom and liberty against tyrannical dictatorships, and that's what the Second Amendment's all about. And nothing that they now. I'm one of those people to where nowhere does it say in the Constitution that you can't carry around a bazooka if you want to. It doesn't even say anything to along the line that if you're a criminal, you can't carry a gun. Now, being reasonable human beings, are we going to go ahead and say, well, we let criminals have guns? Of course not. But what we've done is, as being reasonable human beings, we've let them piecemeal take our right and chip away at it like it's a big block of ice. And they chipped away all the corners away. And now we just have just a little small, you know, snowball left of that right to possess the guns. And the guns really are mainly there to make sure that we remain free against the government. Not to go out there and hunt deer or hunt ducks or anything like that.
All right, well, then if the government should not be controlling guns, what about drugs? What about the Bureau of Alcohol, the FDA, and its regulation of drugs in America? Is that a good thing?
In some ways, I can see the FDA being a good thing, but I think they're well over-regulated, and I think there's too much paperwork.
Is it constitutional?
No, it's not. I don't believe it is.
No, it certainly is not.
And there's a lot of things that aren't constitutional, and as I said, can we revert back? I don't think we can revert, but we can restore. And meaning that we put all three branches of government back into their place to where each one of them do exactly what they're supposed to do, and that the people have that right to vote those people in and not be forced by...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. All right, John, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Go right ahead with your thoughts.
Well, like I'd like to say, I'm running to restore, the Constitution.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
U.S., and it's Tom Tom. So it's my name. You can get to it. We've got it set up. I've got, since I am a computer programmer, we've got ways of getting at the top of the list. So you plug my name in there, you'll get me. You'll get me. That'd be no problem.
All right. God bless and the best of luck to you, John. And please keep in touch.
God bless you, too.
Thank you
so
much.
God bless you. Thank you for having me on your show.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. That was John DeMay. And so if you're interested, well, you can go to his website, get more information on his campaign. And basically, this is the time when I need to remind all of you out there across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you're not in a position to help, why, we'd appreciate your prayers for our provision and protection, because we're really on the front lines of a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Certainly, if you want to understand what's going on financially, my talk on the financial Armageddon, and it comes with a syllabus. We have another one given about 5 years ago called the Financial Tsunami, which gives you the background of how the financial system works, where the gold is, and the interplay. And then to understand the spiritual force behind this and who's really running the world today. and remember and understanding the forces that shape the events of the 20th century is predicated not upon facts to be learned, but rather about secrets to be discovered. And there really are secrets out there, and that's why you need, of course, to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It's sold. It's probably its 10th printing, something like that. We've got an awful lot of copies out across America, and it's been picked up by other publishers, and we've just given them our permission to publish it. We want the book out. We want you to understand what's going on, and certainly some of the big ministries are actually selling the book, and we're so pleased and that the book is getting out there. People are learning what's going on. Certainly, if you'd like to understand how we financed Adolf Hitler, three books, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton, that's Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, America's Nazi Secret, and Trading with the Enemy by John Hyten, John Higham, H-I-G-H-A-M, that's of Trading with the Enemy, and of course Adolf Hitler was able to take over a bankrupt country in 1933 and 5 years later challenge the entire structure of the world. How did he do it? Why, he was the best enemy money could buy. American factories were over there, you know, building his war materials. American technology was providing the patents he needed for rubber and gasoline, and certainly American banks were financing him. And of course, basically, we created the best enemy money could buy, just as certainly the terrorist movement today is being financed by the CIA and by the Bank of London. You'd like to verify what I'm saying as far as the Bank of London financing the terrorists? Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the article about Lord James or about the Belfast Telegram. Lord James got up in Parliament on the 3rd or 4th of November and said that he was sending billions of pounds to the terrorists in North Africa. He was also sending it to the Irish Republican Army, but he was sending it to the terrorists in North Africa. Not a word in the controlled media. You'll find the articles on the Internet and the Belfast Telegram, but they've totally blocked this out. Why? Because the American people might be a little alarmed to find out that the people who are killing American boys over there and maiming them for life are funded by the Bank of London. Of course, they're also funded by the CIA, which funds the ISI. But you need to get the information on the background. We carry a book called The Devil's Game. The Devil's Game. You need to understand where the funding for it comes from, the best enemies money can buy. We have a DVD by that title, my interview with Professor Sutton before he died. The best enemies money could buy goes into who funded the North Vietnamese. Why? You did, ladies and gentlemen. You did. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for caring about your world. Welcome back. Missed you a lot. Hope you missed the Power Hour, but though you had the replays that were the best of the best of the Power Hour programs. Really, it is a joy to be back in the seat, to be talking to you, and to know that you are out there hungering for the truth. Many of you are wanting to know what went on over the weekend. Those of you that don't have television, don't listen to radio, except for, well, Truth Radio, you're probably wondering what all has transpired. Well, we're going to tell you. The major events, some of them not so major in my estimation, but some of them more major than, of course, the networks would want you to think. The news that they seem to lose. That's what we cover on the Power Hour with our own twist to to what that news really means. And we're going to be doing more of that in the new year. So I do thank you for joining us. We're going to have some kind of in-depth investigations for you. We started doing that toward the end of last year. We want to continue doing that. It seems that people want to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And then after that, well, we